You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky back together. And Buck, we've got a ton of stuff to get to today. Fired up for today's show. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm good. DJ, this is a great day. We have a big football game tonight, Thursday night football. You got the San Francisco 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks. We have an opportunity to get back together in studio and talk about that in the pregame. So that should be a lot of fun. But we got some nice topics today. We're going to talk about the Detroit Lions. We're talking about some of the other stuff that's going on around the league. So we should just get right to it.
Yeah, no doubt. We can start there with the Lions. Again, a little bit later on, we're going to get to the Bengals and who's a threat to them in the AFC and defending their title, as well as talk a little bit about the Cardinals and Colts and who you'd rather be going forward. But let's start there with the Detroit Lions, a team that is maybe the biggest surprise this year with what they've been able to accomplish, Buck. I spent some time looking at them and trying digging into to why these rookies are playing so great. But what's your takeaway on the defensive side of the ball as this team has really started to play better?
Well, a couple of things stand out to me when I look at the Lions in general. Toughness and effort can overcome some of your talent deficiencies. And Dan Campbell has his team believing that their toughness and their effort will give them an opportunity to win games. And there's some merit to that when you look at the way this team plays. When they play hard, they're running to the ball. They're doing all the things that you want to see from a physical team, finishing blocks, finishing runs, tackling with force, doing all of the old school things that are really a part of football and been a part of football for hundreds of years. And so when you think about what this team has done under Dan Campbell, they've changed their complete identity. Remember, when we think about the Lions, we used to always think about the run and shoot and some of the finesse things on the Lions. Well, they're not that team anymore. And then when you break down the defense and what Aaron Glenn has done, what he's done is he's put young guys on the field and he simplified what they were doing. Had a chance to catch up with them after the Jacksonville game where they absolutely smashed the Jaguars. And I asked him, man, what's the biggest difference? He was like, we put the young guys on the field. We got more speed and athleticism on the field. And then what we did is we simplified what we were doing. He said, I sat there and I've seen the Seattle Seahawks go to a Super Bowl playing cover three. I've watched and played in a league in which the Tampa Bay Buccaneers went to a Super Bowl playing cover two extensively. There are ways that you can do it where everyone in the stadium may know what you're doing. But if your guys know and understand exactly what they're doing, they can have success. And when you mix in some athleticism, some playmaking for some of these young guys, Aiden Hutchinson, James Houston, you can have a lot of success. And that's what the Lions are doing. And that is really key, their turnaround since the bye week.
Yeah, really three teams. You look at the Jets, the Seahawks, and the Lions. Three teams I think are ahead of where expectations were. And I think you look at so many young players, so many rookies contributing. And I went back and looked, and I was trying to find some type of a theme for all these Lions rookies that are playing great. And I went back, you look at Aiden Hutchinson, Jameson Williams, who just got on the field, Kirby Joseph, who's played great for them, Malcolm Rodriguez, and then James Houston, who's been a wrecking ball in a limited amount of snaps. And, Buck, we always talk about production. And, look, we can talk about athleticism and traits and all those things as we get towards the draft. But you look at the college production for those particular players. We're looking at Aiden Hutchinson right now. His last year at Michigan, 16.5 tackles for loss, 14 sacks. Jameson Williams at Alabama, 1,572 yards, 15 touchdowns in his final season. Kirby Joseph picked off 5 balls his last year at Illinois. Malcolm Rodriguez was a stat stuffer at Oklahoma State, 129 tackles, 16 tackles for loss his last season. James Houston, who fell a little bit in the draft, was at Jackson State. Remember, he started off at Florida, transferred down there. His final season, you saw him in a bowl game, 16.5 sacks, 24 tackles for loss. So they got football players, man, and a lot of those guys tested really well. Houston tested great. Hutchinson tested great. We know how athletic Jameson Williams is. I'm not acting like these guys have no traits, but, man, they were high and put big emphasis on college production, and thus far it's paid off.
Okay, DJ, so what I'm hearing you talk about is a couple things that we talk about in scouting. Prototypes and production. What you're looking for athletically, do they fit the prototype? Do they have the size, the measurables, the length, the athleticism, agility, all those things that we test for at the combine? Then when you turn on the tape, do they have the production to match what their prototypical physical dimensions suggest that they could be? And when you talk about all of those guys, because you listed off four or five guys that are playing in rotation for the Lions, they all had both of those things. They graded out well when it came to the prototypical physical things, but they also put up the numbers that you can see on tape, the numbers that are there and verified. So it becomes less of a projection and more of a decision based on production. With the Detroit Lions, you can see where, because they had visual evidence of the guys playing well in college, it translated to them playing well as pros.
Yeah. And look, I want to swing it back to you on pass rushers, because I feel like this has been an ongoing conversation with us, with production in college as a major indicator when you look at how these guys are going to perform at the next level. We've been talking about that forever.
We have been talking about that forever. And I learned it from your old boss, Ozzie Newsome, who sat me down one day. We were at the combine years ago. And he said, the one thing that translates when it comes to the evaluation process, guys who sack the quarterback in college over multiple years, they sack the quarterback in the pros. And he used T. Sizzle, Terrell Suggs, as an example. And then he told me, look at Elvis Dumervil, and gave me a list of guys. When you look at their collegiate resumes, they had significant sack production. And if you continue to follow that, it translates. Aiden Hutchinson was a dude at Michigan. You see the production. You saw the production his final year for the Blue, and he dominated. You think about James Houston, even at a lower level. But 16 and a half sacks, I don't care who you're playing against, that is a significant amount of production that you can see. And so guys have a knack, because pass rushing is maybe more art than science. Guys have a feel for being able to do it. And the only way you can do it is you have to have a knack for doing it. You have to show that you have a knack for doing it. And so I believe there is something to that. And the Lions certainly have made their hay by banking on guys who can be very, very productive. They're productive in college. They've been productive as pros.
No doubt. Well, they've done a nice job there. Another thing I would add, and I'll get you your final thought on this one, understanding your windows. And I think the Stafford trade, look, the Rams win the Super Bowl. I think the Lions, Brad Holmes, probably got a little grief with that one. How do you move on from Stafford? Well, Stafford's physically broken down this year and not unable to finish the season and has been hurt. And you've seen the Rams take a nosedive. And here the Lions, armed with now a top five pick, courtesy of that Stafford trade, as they're starting to ramp up. It's understanding where your window is. They weren't in their window when they made that trade. Now they're starting to enter into it, and they've got a lot of assets to add.
They have a lot of assets. And I'm going to say this, because I don't believe people have given Jerry Goff enough credit. Hey, whatever he is, Jerry Goff was a former number one overall pick who has also led his team to a Super Bowl, who has also been recognized as a Pro Bowler for his talents. Now, he may be a system quarterback, and that is fine, because the league is full of system players who thrive. What we're seeing, when you surround Jared Goff with good players and you put him in a system that is conducive to his talent, he's a winning quarterback. The Lions now have a situation where they may not need to move on from their quarterback, and they can add more assets to a team that looks like it already has a rock solid foundation. So yeah, Brad Holmes had to kind of suffer through it the first year, but right now it looks like that trade is tipping in the Lions' favor, because they have a quarterback that may be able to give them a few more years, and they have a wealth of picks that they can use to upgrade a roster that looks pretty solid right now.
No doubt. Well, I'll tell you what, this is a team that's going to be fun to watch as we go forward, a team that's definitely on the come, and the team that might just sneak their way into the postseason the way they're playing right now. If they can keep this up, fight their way in, and get into the tournament. I want to remind everybody, Saturday football returns to the NFL on December 17th. And NFL Network is your home for an exclusive triple header. The Colts take on the Vikings at 1 p.m. Eastern, followed by Ravens-Browns. That is 4 p.m. Then a huge divisional showdown in primetime as the Dolphins battle the Bills at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's Saturday showdown triple header. All day Saturday, December 17th, only on NFL Network and streaming on NFL Plus. All right, we come back. We're going to dig into the Arizona Cardinals and the Indianapolis Colts. Who would you rather be? We'll discuss that right after this. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
NFL Plus is here, which means no matter where you are, this is how you football. You can stream live, local, and primetime games on your phone or tablet. 45-minute game replays with NFL Plus Premium and more. This is NFL for every fan. This is football freedom. This is your game on the go. Go to plus.nfl.com and sign up now. DJ, I've been around you enough to know that you love watching stuff on HGTV. You have a thing for maybe rebuilding projects, like flipping homes, putting it together, seeing what it looks like from the ground up. And so what I want to do is I want to kind of take that, but give you an opportunity to do it in football terms. And so there are two teams that are kind of struggling. They're on a struggle bus, but we have an opportunity to get our hard hat and our tools out, and we have a chance to fix them. So we're going to look at two teams, the Arizona Cardinals or the Indianapolis Colts. Which team would be the better project for you to fix?
Well, and we look at the draft capital upcoming here. The Cardinals, they're going to be sitting with the sixth overall pick if the season ended today. The Colts would be sitting there at pick number seven. I actually think this is a pretty good debate. You could say, who would you rather be? And let's start, first of all, let's look big picture here. Which division would you want to be in? You look at the NFC West, and you look at the Rams coming off a Super Bowl, but they're struggling. You've got Seattle, who has got a lot of good rookies, a lot of good young players. The 49ers are absolutely loaded right now. So that's a tricky division. That's a tough division. You look at the AFC South, you know, Jacksonville is on the come up a little bit, Buck. Your Jags, you see with Trevor Lawrence and what he's starting to do there going forward. Tennessee is kind of plateaued, kind of leveled off a little bit at this point in time, and Houston's kind of terrible. So if you're just looking at which environment would you rather be in, I think I'd rather be in the Colts environment inside that division. And I think the next important thing you look at is the quarterback position, and this is where it gets tricky. Kyler Murray, obviously incredibly talented. He's coming off of an injury next year. He's going to be probably a little bit slow to get up and going after tearing his ACL the other night. But you look at Indianapolis, their quarterback's not on campus. So even though Kyler with some of, he's a little bit different, and we've seen lots of reports about that in terms of just how he interacts with teammates and just he's a unique guy. He's a little bit different there. So I don't think he's the easiest guy in the world to coach. But just talent-wise, I mean, you've got a supreme talent compared to trying to find one there in Indianapolis. That's a big edge for Arizona.
Yeah, it's a huge edge for Arizona. The problem is, as much as I love the quarterback, the team is old. And when we think about rebuilding projects, yeah. Like, man, how much longer is their window? When you talk about windows, DeAndre Hopkins is in his 30s, A.J. Green. I think three-fifths or maybe four-fifths of their offensive line is over 30. You think about on defense, J.J. Watt is older. I mean, you just talk about an old team. And when you have an older team, more injuries come. You don't have the ability to kind of finish the season the right way just because fatigue and those things. When I look at the Indianapolis Colts, like, yes, we do not have a quarterback, and that has been a revolving door at that position. But when you think about the young players that they still kind of have in the mix, you still got Shaq Leonard, you still have DeForest Buckner, you still have Kwity Paye and some of the Yannick Ngakoue and some of these young guys that you can work around. And then offensively, I would like to think that this offensive line is fixable. They've invested too much money, too much draft capital in this offensive line for it to continue to be this bad. On the outside, you have Michael Pittman. You certainly can use him and have value. Alec Pierce has shown the ability to make some plays. And so it's just about finding the quarterback. I actually think in Indianapolis, with the structure that they have, the right quarterback in that division where, let's be honest, there's only one quarterback that I would really worry about right now, and that would be Trevor Lawrence, who is on the ascent. Everybody else, you feel like you should be able to compete with. So if I had my druthers, I'm going to take the Indianapolis Colts job, and I believe that is a program that can be fixed, and it should be fixed fairly quickly if you make a couple of good decisions.
Yeah, it's challenging because, you know, I look at it, and, man, the quarterback is such a big aspect of this whole thing. But Kyler Murray, that's a little tricky. It's a little tricky situation. You're going to have to put a scheme in, make him comfortable to get him up and running, obviously coming off of the injury. The contract's already laid out, so he's not going anywhere. So you're going to have to try and figure it out and make it work with him. But when I look at all these different factors, the division, as I mentioned, Indianapolis gets the edge. Organizationally, look, I know it was a little off script. They go and hire Jeff Saturday in the middle of the season. I know that was a little unconventional. But I think if you look at the track record of the Indianapolis Colts, go through all those Peyton Manning years, this has been a traditional winning organization. So I would go with the Indianapolis Colts in terms of organization-wide. Team roster-wise, you laid it out beautifully. I think I would lean towards Indianapolis there as well. So even if you give the quarterback situation to Arizona, I think those other three factors, they fall in Indianapolis's hands. But man, Buck, it's going to be a big decision. I think they have the biggest decision to make in the offseason in terms of what they do at the quarterback position. I think that will determine where the Colts go. And I also think, I give them the edge organizationally, but I do think that the way things ended there with Frank Reich, I think that I didn't go over great in the coaching community.
No, it didn't go over great. And like you certainly would have to explain that away when you're doing the interview process in terms of like security and those things. You also have to talk about the relationship with the general manager, Chris Ballard. Does it continue on? And how does that power structure look like? But when I think about this team, I think this team can be rebuilt in an image that will allow them to have staying power, meaning they're built to last. And I know for so long we think about the Colts and we think about the Peyton Manning era followed by Andrew Luck and them throwing it all over the yard. But I think there's a way where you can build this team where it's a physical team on offense that is a little more run-centric, maybe with a young quarterback who doesn't necessarily play the role of the playmaker, but he plays the managerial role while you get all the other pieces in place. I like what Gus Bradley has done with the defense, and he's been able to do it without Shaq Leonard. I think this program should be able to be rebuilt quickly, but you have to make some shrewd decisions, and you have to have a clear vision for how this team needs to play within that division. And as long as the Tennessee Titans are in the division, you better be big, physical, and strong. And so it's just a matter of understanding the vision and making sure that you put the right players in the right places to be able to play to that vision.
Yeah, and I look at, the Arizona Cardinals could be a team, if you want to talk about trying to tear it down a little bit and rebuild it and reallocate some of your resources, a team that doesn't have premier player at the tackle position, and we've talked about this before, they don't have an edge rusher. Mm-hmm. These are like premier marquee positions. So maybe it's a situation where, we'll see what happens with the leadership with this team going forward, but maybe you take some of your assets at some of these other non-premium positions, and you look at some of those young linebackers that they've drafted high over the last couple of years, and Isaiah Simmons and Zaven Collins, two very talented, gifted players, but maybe those are, chips you're trying to move out or looking at other options to move guys out, try and bring in some players, man. You need an edge rusher. You need a premier edge rusher. They do not have one. So that's something to keep an eye on for them. I also think the Indianapolis Colts could use an edge rusher as well. So I think it's an interesting debate. I do think we're both on the same page here. We would lean towards Indianapolis being the better gig, but both these teams have big off seasons ahead, and it'll determine what this next decade could look like depending on what they do with these top 10 picks, Buck.
Yeah, no, look, how you deploy and utilize your draft capital will really be critical for both of these teams. And thinking about the Arizona Cardinals, you're right. They do have some intriguing young pieces. When you talk about Isaiah Simmons, Zaven Collins, and then you have Buda Baker right down the middle. The problem is, when we think about the way the game has been played and been played forever, you have to have tackles, you have to have pass rushers, you have to have depth within the trenches on both sides of the ball. For the Cardinals, I think you got to go heavy in building up the trench warriors. They have enough weaponry on the outside to be able to win games, but I don't know if they're good enough up front on each side of the ball to really be able to compete with the heavyweights. That is the number one priority after you get the quarterback up and going and put him in a system that works for his talent.
Man, no doubt. Well, a big offseason ahead for both those teams. We're interested to see what direction they end up going. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to look at the Bengals, the defending champs of the AFC, and look at who are the biggest threats to their throne. We'll get to that right after this. You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you. Buck, you had a great article looking at the AFC and looking at the biggest threats to the Cincinnati Bengals, who all of a sudden are playing their best football of the year right now. They are the defending champs there in the AFC. Who do you have as the top three threats in the AFC to their title?
You know, it's funny, DJ, because you think about the Cincinnati Bengals, and we almost forget that they are the defending AFC champion. So much has been made about the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs that we rarely talk about the Bengals in that light as one of the heavyweights in the conference. But when you look at the way that they're playing, you look at what has happened for them since Joe Burrow has really taken more command of the offense, this team is right in play. And I know they're in the middle of a battle with the Baltimore Ravens over the division, but I think you can make a reasonable case that the Cincinnati Bengals might be the best team in the AFC. But when we think about the challenges to their throne, I think it starts with the Kansas City Chiefs, and Pat Mahomes. And even though they have lost three times to the Bengals in the last calendar year, you still got to consider him because the quarterback, Pat Mahomes, is so good. He's so good. He can put the offense on his back. He still has Travis Kelce. They're still trying to put the pieces around him to make sure that it's going. But Pat Mahomes plus anybody else gives you a chance. And then you think about the Buffalo Bills in a similar situation with Josh Allen and all the wonderful things that he brings to the table, the defense that they have. I would say not necessarily a star to the defense, but a rock solid defense that plays really well under the direction of Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott. So that team is there. And we know that Josh Allen is going to make enough plays for them to be there. Those are the two teams that I think are the biggest challengers to the Cincinnati Bengals and what they could face in terms of trying to defend their AFC crown.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look at it right now. The Cincinnati Bengals sitting at 9-4 would be the 5 seed if the season ended today, which would mean they'd have to do some damage there on the road. So that's a fascinating one. If the Baltimore Ravens end up holding on and winning that division, they have a little easier schedule than the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals are going to have to do it all on the road. Now, you know, we've seen it with Tampa Bay, with Tom Brady. The year they won it, they handled their business on the road. I think that's a team that now has some playoff experience that they could do the same thing, go out there and challenge anybody. They can match up with any of those teams. But when you think of the team that's the most dangerous to them, you have the Kansas City Chiefs at number one. I think I would go with the Buffalo Bills if I was going to say the quarterbacks kind of cancel each other out. They're both elite superstars who raise the level of everyone around them. I believe in Buffalo and their defense a little more than Kansas City. I know Kansas City's done a nice job. The offense is what it is. As long as Mahomes is out there and Kelce's out there, they're going to hum. They're going to roll. And defensively, they're playing with a lot of young players. You're seeing some of those guys make progress and take steps. I think the Buffalo, if I'm not mistaken, Buck, I don't know if they've lost a game with Jordan Poyer on the field. He is a big piece of their defense. Even though, you have the injury to Micah Hyde, you have the injury to Von Miller, I still think the combination of Sean McDermott and their defensive pieces, I believe in them holistically a little bit more than the Kansas City Chiefs.
I mean, there's a lot of reasons to believe in the Buffalo Bills. One, you look at the young players. I mean, you see Gregory Rousseau, Boogie Basham going with Ed Oliver. They're able to still generate a pass rush for A.J. Epenesa also being a part of that group. In the secondary, they are so good in what they do. They don't do a lot, but, man, they do it really, really well. Jordan Poyer is a linchpin to that secondary in terms of being able to control the middle of the field, making sure everyone is aligned right, everyone is playing the call the way they're supposed to be played. And then there's this cultural thing about the Buffalo Bills where they're kind of like this blue collar team that they understand exactly who they are and they play to their identity. Rough, rugged, tough team. And if you have to play them in their place, yeah, good luck to you because it's a very, very difficult environment. And we'll get a chance to see this weekend on NFL Network when the Miami Dolphins have to venture up there with Tua Tagovailoa, and we'll see how he fares in the cold weather against
like
a very,
dog.
Very talented team that looks like they're number one.
Yeah, here's a question for you. I know, it's this recency bias here, but if the Chargers, who are one spot out right now, who have a very favorable remaining schedule, if they could get by the Titans this week, they have three games against teams with losing records to finish out the season. If the Chargers could get in, based on having seen them and the Miami Dolphins on the same field, and that's, keep in mind, no Bosa, no Derwin James in that contest, would that change it? Do they enter into this fray? I know right now, as it stands, they wouldn't be in the postseason, so they got to
so
get
funny.
In there.
It's so funny that you said that. Yeah, it does change it because, DJ, you're privy to the rundown that our listeners and viewers aren't. And if you notice, when we talked about contenders to the throne, I only mentioned two teams, even though there were three listed. Part of that is because we're on the same wavelength when it comes to the L.A. Chargers. The way the L.A. Chargers play is certainly problematic when they have all of their weapons. when they have everybody on offense, it's one of the more difficult offenses to defend because you have Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, who are great. But the blessing in disguise has been the experience that DeAndre Carter and Josh Palmer have been able to get in terms of giving them other players that they can go to. Austin Eckler, still terrific, catching the ball out the backfield, still can run it. I would like to see him have a meatier, a bigger back to shoulder the load, but they're good. And then on defense, Derwin James coming back, Joey Bosa coming back, being able to put the pieces of the puzzle there. We always think about the team getting into the postseason that appears to be the hot team. The Chargers can be the hot team. And with the quarterback who can erase all the flaws, yeah, the Chargers are a problem. I would love to see that personally because, man, who wouldn't want to see Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert duke it out for some significant titles when it comes to it?
Yeah, the other thing is I think with Baltimore, look, let's see. You know, Lamar Jackson gets healthy in time for the postseason and they end up winning that division and able to kind of hold the fort while he's gone. And now you've got home games with a fresh, healthy Lamar Jackson in the mix, and now you're seeing with J.K. Dobbins what that run game can start to look like. What I'm getting at is this is a deep conference. You know, whoever gets in, the Jets, we haven't talked about them. They're just on the outside looking in. They're going to finish up the season at Miami. That could be a win and end game for both those teams. So they're a team with his defense as good as there is. They just don't have the quarterback, and Mike White's played well, but they don't have the quarterback to match up with the other elite superstars there in the AFC.
And that's the thing that we've seen in the tournament. In the tournament, it's about quarterback play, and you have to have a star. You have to have a dude. Like, yeah, as much as we like to romanticize the game manager and having the pieces around him, and, hey, the team can carry him and yada, 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 in the tournament, you have to have an A-level quarterback to have a chance to get there. Because at some point in those games, as you get down the line, your quarterback has to make a play or a series of plays that separates your team from the opposition. And so when we think about Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, some of the great quarterbacks that are in the AFC, at the end, it's going to be the quarterback competition, the one that we used to see at the Pro Bowl. Yeah, your quarterback is going to have to be the one to carry you over the finish line because that's just the way the game is played.
No, 100%. Well, it's going to be a fun end of the season run here in the AFC, which is absolutely stacked and loaded. There's going to be some good teams that don't make the postseason this year, just the way it goes. But it'll be fun to follow and see who can give a challenge there to the reigning champs in the Cincinnati Bengals. All right, reminder, Saturday football returns to the NFL on December 17th, and NFL Network is your home for an exclusive triple header. The Colts take on the Vikings at 1 p.m. Eastern, followed by the Ravens-Browns at 4 p.m., then a huge divisional showdown in primetime as the Dolphins battle the Bills at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's a Saturday showdown triple header, all day Saturday, December 17th, only on NFL Network and streaming on NFL Plus. This has been a fun show today. Hope you guys have a wonderful football weekend as we inch closer to the holidays. Hope you're having a great time, enjoying time with family as well. You can find all the Move the Sticks content, NFL's YouTube channel, NFL.com, and the NFL app. We'll see you next time right here on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.